Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is my friend, Showbiz Shelley.
Hello, Scott Catoon.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel like I'm like rested, but not really. I don't know. I went golfing like all weekend long, which was fantastic, and we had Sean filled in for me on the showcase on Saturday, so that was his first thing. It was kind of cool.
I heard all about it. He said it went really well.
Everyone so far has told me it went really well. I listened to it on the golf course. I made all my friends listen to it. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So what's going on in your world?
Not a lot. You know, the weather's been really nice. So I've been going outside. I'm not a golfer. However, I've been going to bars, fests, to do division, did that whole thing over the weekend. So, but there are a couple things going on in the celebrity / tech world. So, you know, Wonder Woman came out this past weekend, did really huge in the box office. And this is pretty cool. So anticipation of the film, Google Play, along with Made with Code. Are you familiar with them at all?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So they teamed up with Warner Brothers to create a new Wonder Woman-themed coding tutorial to give young women everywhere, I guess, the superpower of coding. So with their interactive project, programmers use introductory programming principles to help Wonder Woman combat obstacles in three unique scenes from the movie. And then each of the three levels teach different concepts, I guess, when it comes to coding, so like variables and sequences. And so the project was designed with teen girls in mind. And that's similar to a lot of other projects, I guess, that Made with Code does. So this seems really cool. Kind of cool, right? Integrating the two worlds there. And then if maybe you're more of a TV talk show fan, Wendy Williams has a new app coming out.
Yay, right? Wendy!
Your mic is so loud, by the way.
I know you can't hear. Yeah, I can turn it down. I don't know.
That's okay. But yeah, Wendy Williams has a new app. And so what this one does is it's going to be for super fans like you, Scott, who, if you enjoy trivia, if you enjoy going behind the scenes, you can win prizes. So this is the new Wendy app. And then she's also doing Wenmojis. So kind of along the lines of like Kimojis, like Kim Kardashian.
So kind of along the lines of Technori Emoji.
Techmoji.
Because we're hosting our June 27th Technori pitch is going to be the future of media. And one of the companies is a guest we had on this show, Thomas Ma from Sapphire Apps that made our emoji.
Sure, yeah.
So he's going to be talking a lot about all the emojis in it. It is a new thing, obviously. Emojis is like a popular thing, but it is a new thing to use it as a branding tool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're actually starting to see like a lot of companies actually create their own emojis and sort of use that as their like face.
Way to market.
Yeah, it's like Snap with filters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you reminded me because I just saw that, actually. I just saw you posted that, and that's on the 27th.
That's correct. Yeah, June 27th.
Yeah.
So we'll get an emoji for you.
I would love that.
And we'll see what we can do on that one.
Okay, we'll work on it. And then the other thing, Tech Week is coming up too, which is pretty cool. That's next week. Yeah.
That is it the 19th through the 23rd,
right,
or something like that?
That's not next week. I'm a little bit far behind. But yeah, so a couple cool tech events happening also.
I think I have not gotten the official go ahead, but I think that I'm going to be emceeing at Tech Week or something like that.
I knew you'd be doing something.
We did last year, and we had Amanda Signorelli, the CEO of Tech Week, on the show, on the Saturday show, and she was like, she said that on the show, but I mean, I never saw the follow up emails. I mean, unless it's a confirmation email.
It's on the way.
It better be on the way. I need to promote Technori anyway, somehow. Duh. I never do any of that, of course.
No, never.
So anyway, we're going to have you kind of stick around here because we're going to talk about digital adventures. The co-founder, Amawale Cassell, is sitting next to us right now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
You can just pull yourself a little closer and join the conversation.
I'm here.
So my mic is still really loud.
Yeah, it's still really loud.
I don't know what, like, I'll work on that. I don't know why it's
super... with the producer.
I know. Well, I should put headphones on, but I tried to put them on, and then the handle broke. You know, it's first world problems going on around.
Is your head getting too big? Is that the
Probably.
Problem?
I mean, my emoji head was gigantic, so what are you going to do? Anyway, Amawale, we've got you here. Why don't you talk to us first and foremost on, like, what is Digital Adventures?
Digital Adventures is coding classes and tech camps for kids. So we're a retail-based, instructor-led. We've got two locations, about to expand to a third. We've got one in Wilmette. We've got a second in Lincoln Park, and we've got a third coming in Hinsdale.
So how do, like, for those who do not understand anything in the tech and coding world, how does someone take advantage of something like that?
It's kid-based, so we do pre-K up to 12th grade. So we've got kids as young as 4-year-old that come into our studios. And what they do is they sign up for a monthly subscription of classes, so they come once a week for about an hour. During the summer, we have camps where they come in for a half-day camp, so 20 hours for the week. We have kids that have their birthday parties with us. We do workshops that are all around technology. What we're really trying to do is inspire the next generation to develop creative solutions to the world's biggest problems using technology as their platform. So anything and everything around hardware, software, to try to get them to stimulate that creative problem-solving muscle in their brains.
I was just going to ask, like, would you think that the majority of this is, like, I mean, obviously not the majority, but I feel like robotics and 3D printing is, like, got to be the wheelhouse. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, like, can you imagine, Shelley, if we were kids and got to go, I mean, we went to, like, Discovery Zone. I don't know. It was, like,
the Field Museum, yeah.
Well, the Field Museum was cool-ish.
Children's Museum, yeah.
Yeah, like, Discovery Zone was just, like, a bunch of, like, little balls in a pool and you jump in it. To be able to actually make stuff. Can you imagine how cool that
Very
is?
Cool.
Yeah. Less germy, too.
And I think that's really what draws the kids in. I call it accidental learning, where basically – for each session, we start them from the beginning where, you know, it's basically a blank sheet of paper. They might go out and sketch up something on a whiteboard. They might, you know, kind of write something down on a piece of paper. But by the end of each session, they will have built a robot. They will have modded some sort of 3D structure. They will have built some sort of video game. They will have made some sort of Minecraft modification. It's all these sorts of things where they can see that I can build something, because at that age, no one has ever told them, hey, you can't code, hey, you can't program. And what we're really trying to do is get them comfortable into that environment. So they say, yeah, you know what? I made a video game at Digital Adventures. I made a Minecraft mod. And as you see that confidence grow over time, they just get better and better at it. So, yeah.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is huge. I mean, especially with the world going the way it is into the tech and everything being tech now, that it's really important to get them started earlier.
I think it is important to get them started earlier, but I would not say it's big yet, right? So when you look at the statistics, there's something like 90% of parents want their kids to learn about coding, programming, engineering. When you look at what's actually offered in schools, only about 25% of schools actually offer something, right? So we've basically started up to fill that gap, right? So we're primarily after school. They might get an hour a week, but when you look at the amount of time they spend in school, which is 40 hours a week versus an hour a week they might spend with us, there's still this huge delta, right? But to your point, if you look at the way the trends are headed in terms of how important is technology going to be, you look at, you know, autonomous vehicles, you look at what people are doing with kiosks and making those automated, you look at some of the problems and solutions that have been developed out of Israel from your last guest, there's so many things that require creative problem solving that it's no longer good enough to have the current kind of structure that we have in the schools, right, which is the traditional reading, writing, arithmetic. Like, we have to get more towards the application of those skills, and that's really why we exist.
What is the general age, the average age of the people coming in here?
So we're probably, the sweet spot for us is probably 3rd to 7th grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, because we had, 2 weeks ago, we had Katie Lynch from Codeverse on, and talking about, you know, the importance of finding, they created a thing called KidScript, which teaches children how to code using a kind of a common language that they could use to then learn, you know, Python or whatever other type of thing they want to learn. I feel like we're starting to just, as you mentioned, it's not as big as it should be. We're starting to see tools and stuff that don't cost as much money so that we can't continue to blame the schools and be like, well, I mean, obviously we wish the schools would do a better job of this. But at a certain point, you can only wait so long.
Yeah.
And so the idea that you're coming up, you know, that you've come up with, as well as that Katie's come up with, just this way of sort of getting a private version of, like, listen, if they're not going to get it there, try to get it somewhere.
Yeah. And to be clear, we're not blaming the schools. Like, when
no,
you look
no,
at like
not.
The structure of it, like, in order for them to do some of the things that we're able to do in our studios, right? I mean, we have, you know, computers, we bring in TVs, we've got 3D printers,
people
we've got robotics, we've got people that
tools.
Know how to teach them. And so, like, it would be a massive shift to, you know, empower schools to do that. And so, like, in the interim, what we're doing is we're creating this solution. And basically the way we see the market developing is that until the schools are able to get this sort of curriculum and programming into their schools, we will fill the gap. And then as kids start to get that in schools, we'll be no different than like a Kumon or a Huntington, where people want to take it to the next level. They might want to do AP classes. They might want to get additional help. And so we'll always have that kind of delta between like what the market is looking for and what we're able to provide. So.
Well, I look at this like kind of like AAU basketball minus the negative connotation, where it's like you play. No, I'm seriously.
Sure.
It's like we actually talked this on that last show that was like, You can't tailor the whole school to like the quote unquote D1 heading athlete. You can't make the whole basketball program be like about this one in a lifetime person. But you still have to have tools available so that those who are potentially maybe that one in a lifetime person, to give them the ability to become that one in a lifetime person. Yeah. And that's where like things like this come in. And I just think it's incredibly important. And I also think you might be the person, and you know, the code versus of the world, are the people who could actually lower the cost mm-hmm. and lower the educational barrier yeah. so that schools can actually take from what you did and start utilizing you as a tool. And instead of them just going to you outside of school, they actually bring you into their school, and yeah. that's sort of an extension.
And to be fair, we've gone into a lot of schools, right? Like, schools will have us do their after-school programs.
I would hope so.
We've gone into libraries and things like that. But to your point about writing the cost curve down, just like in any technology, you know, kind of introduction, it's always going to be super expensive when you start out. And then, like, as you get the learnings and things like that, you're able to write that cost curve down. And so right now we're in, you know, 2.5 locations going to a third one. But the goal is that we want to have 300 of these nationwide, right? And so in order to do that, we're going to have to get that cost point down. We're going to have to get, you know, the type of real estate that we can go into to be advantageous for a lot of different areas. We have to figure out how to train up a whole new generation of teachers, right? So when you think about current teachers, they go through a certain process to become, you know, educators. And so what we're finding is that we have to train the teachers just as much as we're training the students that are coming into our studios. And so, like, it's a whole massive kind of imagining of the ecosystem. And what we're really trying to do is be at the forefront of that to make sure that this is everywhere, right? Because when you hear about some of the stuff that they were talking about before, I keep going back to it, but it was so refreshing to hear about all the problems that are being solved. And so it's like, you've got this next generation that's coming up that is not afraid of technology. They consider themselves probably beyond digital natives. How do you get them to create that next generation of things that are really solving problems? You know, whether it be water, whether it be around autonomous vehicles, there's so many things that are out there that they've already been primed when they look at, you know, the entrepreneurs of today, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or, you know, Bill Gates or, you know, all these people that have basically kind of create that, those heroes out there. They're going to want to do those same things. Like, you know, the first time someone came in and said, you know, I look up to the founder of Minecraft, right? It's like, that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, right? I like to what you said about accidental learning, because mm-hmm. I feel like you might have a lot of kids who are in school that they don't necessarily feel that reading is the most exciting subject, or math, mm-hmm. they don't really like math. But like you say, they can do something like with what you're doing and really mm-hmm. be engaged and learn. And do you see that, like the excitement in the kids?
We do. I mean, I think that that's the key that we tried to create when we talk about how we were going to structure our projects, is that we wanted them to see that it's pretty fun to make a battle bot. It's pretty fun to model a skyscraper. It's pretty fun to make a platform video game, right? So it's like, as they start to see these things, they get super excited and they say, hey, what's next? How can I change that around? If I modeled a skyscraper, can I make a bridge next week? Can I, you know, model a vehicle? Like, there's all these things where kids, they just get so into it, because I think at the end of the day, fundamentally, we're all creators. And so the closer that we can get these kids to understanding that they are the creators of tomorrow and they are the ones that are going to develop the solutions of tomorrow, that's when we're going to really get some of these problems solved that, you know, are kind of big and hairy, because they're going to think, oh, I've been solving problems since I was 4 years old at Digital Adventures. So, yeah, I'll dive into that. You want me to make a new, you know, virtual reality program? Fine, whatever. So
that's one of the things I do, too. I think this is amazing. I can only imagine as a kid, like, having the ability to actually do stuff like this. Where when I was younger, you know, they would try to say you could do math and science, and I was like, man, I don't see any context here. Like, this is making sense to me, which actually kind of reminds me, we don't have time to really get into this, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up, but I will anyway. It does remind me that there's a major problem on the school side that needs to be solved, because mm-hmm. this is, like, I'm noticing more and more of the privatization of education in mm-hmm. a lot of ways, where you just can't, like, it's just not affordable. It doesn't make sense to have a public school and you've got a teacher who the previous models that they're locked in for, they're tenured and they're locked in for however long. Mm-hmm. And the learning curve is so different. And like, I have a couple of friends of mine who are still teachers or, you know, now retired. And like, when I talk to them about education, it's like, man, it's just a different model. Like, can you imagine having kids come up and be like, oh no, I can solve that. Like, mm-hmm. it used to be the opposite. You'd be the kid like, I'm so scared to try to take this on. And the teacher's like, no, I'll lead your hand through it.
Yeah.
And that would be the way that this education thing went. And now with the new generation, there's a complacency when the teachers are sitting there going through the same thing every day, mm-hmm. you know, retooled version of yesterday. And the kid's like, I'm going home. Like, and they mm-hmm. ditch and smoke whatever, they leave, and that's the end of it.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, I'm done with this. And then the reality is, if the kids could actually teach some of the students, or I'm sorry, the kids could actually teach some of the teachers more than the opposite way around sometimes. And it just reminds me of how much we really need to think through the future of how we reshape education, and the fact that what used to always work as a spiraling of the curriculum or whatever is not really mm-hmm. going to work again, I don't think.
That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to just share a story, we had a kid that had gone through our 3D printing kind of topic area. He had done it for several months, and then he switched schools, and they happened to do a workshop at his school. And his mom came in the following week, and she came up to me and she said, "He knows more than the teachers do. He was teaching them how to, you know, set up the model. He was teaching them how to set up the 3D printer." And it's because, like, we empower them to solve the problems, right? We don't say it's got to be teacher to student to solve the problems. We say you figure out how to solve the problem, not just with yourself, but also working side by side with your peers, right? Learn how to collaborate, right? Because that's how work works in the real world. It's not that someone tells you an answer and then you nod your head and say, yes, that's the answer. It's that there's all these problems out there that don't really have necessarily well-defined solutions that people have to figure out. And the best way to figure it out is to teach them how to build things over time where they struggle partway through to say, you know what? I don't quite know how to do that conditional statement. You know what? I don't know how to quite make that function. But as you learn how to do that over and over again in a variety of different use cases, you get further and further up that problem-solving, you know, spectrum to where once you see something new, you're like, oh, I have a model. I have a mental model for how I might go about it. What information do I need? What data? And then you can start to piece it all together.
Man, that's good stuff.
All the middle managers across the country are just like, this is awesome. But you can just see it. You know it because you're sitting there like, oh, my God, my job is to tell you what to do. Damn it.
I'm out of business, Mr. Cassell.
This is awesome. How do people get more involved? Where do the parents go to get their kids involved in this stuff? Where does everybody go to learn more about digital adventures?
There's a couple different options. You can go to our website at www.digitaladventures.com. You can give us a call on the phone, 844-KID-CODE. 543-2633, or you can go to one of our learning studios. We're at 406 Linden Avenue in Wilmette, and we're at 701 West Armitage in Lincoln Park. We're coming soon in Hinsdale.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Shelley, thank you, of course.
Thanks, Scott. This was good. Thanks.
Of course. You can watch this podcast and more at technori.com. Download our show on iTunes and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon, or follow Showbiz Shelley at Showbiz Shelley. Boom. That's a wrap.